B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Here's what the story says. They put money in a pot and they try to get COVID. And whoever gets COVID first wins the pot. Are you kidding me?
Do you think their parents are proud of them for anything that they do now you're on?
Oh my God.
That's not even kids.
This is
being,
like the
kids
purge.
Being kids. This is just stupidity.
It's unbelievable considering the numbers and the severity of this. I mean, I don't know if I was 22 right now, 19, 21, whatever, a college student, how I would be handling it. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I would handle it with the same wisdom as a 48-year-old.
Right.
But I would like to think that I probably wouldn't be holding COVID parties.
No. I'd roll my eyes at the beginning of it when people were holding Corona parties, right? They're drinking Coronas.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, dude, come on. But this, they're literally trying to get infected. Like, they're competing. And then you'll get the response, well, it's not even that serious. You know, young people don't die from it. Like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, but you can give it to someone else.
Uh-huh.
It's not.
I mean, look at the Clemson football team. They had like 50 or 25 players.
Yeah, 23 players.
And then what happens? They then go on to hang out with their friends. Then they get it. And then it's just, it's a chain effect. And I don't understand why we as a society don't understand that yet.
Yeah, this is, maybe we've done a bad job in the education system.
I guess.
I mean, look, here's what I know through coronavirus. The teachers don't get paid enough. Because I had to try and homeschool my kids through this when the schools got shut down. And I didn't need any more reassurance that academically I'm no all-star. I remembered from when I was in school. But I got even a starker reminder during coronavirus trying to help my 7th grader, 6th grader, and 3rd grader.
You weren't just teaching. You too were learning.
No, I wasn't. I could have used a tutor, put it that way. I couldn't help. When it came to math, I couldn't help. Now, they teach it different. It's called Common Core now.
Yep.
And I would go and I would Google the answer to the problem and try and reverse engineer it. Still couldn't figure it out. Couldn't help. And then you're getting emails from like teachers like, your daughter is not passing home ec or cooking. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Sorry. No offense.
Yeah, it's like the I always
core
like,
four here.
I always like to say no offense to the college professors that teach like you know Earth or whatever. Andrew, you've missed 6 classes out of a possible 8. Well, yeah, it's because I'm currently working on my final projects at the other
that are going to affect me.
My important, my journalism courses.
Yeah.
I'm not going for earthly studies.
Yeah, like my son, they're like, your son didn't complete his gym stuff. I'm like, he's active, all right? He's fine.
Wait, what is gym stuff when you're work?
They had assignments that they want him to do for phys ed.
What?
I don't know.
Push-ups?
Look, they were in an impossible position as well. So, but when I see Alabama students are attending COVID-19 parties and gambling who gets sick first, you want to line them up and just smack them all down. That's unbelievable to me. 610-632-0975. We're going to get to your rant about the reliever rule. Is that what you're going to rant about?
It's not much of a rant. It's just I don't know what if I like it or not.
What it accomplishes?
Yeah, like the rule that they have to pitch to 3 batters. Mm-hmm. And I get it. It is to speed up the game. But at the same time,
it could slow it down. The guy's got nothing. He's going to get smacked around.
And, well, you're also just you're changing. You want to talk about the shift being taken away? That is a strategic element.
Yeah, so is changing pitchers.
Exactly. And I get it's going to make the game faster, but now you have to...
See, I don't know that it is.
Whatever.
I don't know that it makes the game faster. If you get a guy... If a guy goes in and gets one out, and then you can put in the next pitcher to get one out, is that faster than a guy getting in there and has nothing and gets smacked around by 3 batters and then...
No, it will be fast. Well, if he gets smacked around, then the game extends.
And that's why you take him out. Because he's got nothing that day. The arm's shot. All right, we'll get to your rant on that. And I want to see, I want you to come up with a fix then. If you are against limiting or eliminating the shift, which is drastic, I get it. But it fixes everything, in my opinion. If you're against that, then give me a solution. So stay tuned.
That's my solution.
Yeah, well, a lot of people aren't dealing with it. Mark in the Northeast is on the Fanatic. Mark.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
What's up, buddy?
I want to talk about the baseball and what you're talking about, the shift.
I think the only way you can solve the shift is let the guys stop worrying about hitting home runs and pulling the ball. Then you don't have, you don't need a shift.
Yeah, well, that, see, that's the thing, though, Mark. Pitching is so good right now and so precise that they force you to hit the ball. And baseball is a numbers game. They know that, you know, Ryan Howard's going to hit the ball to the right side.
Yeah, but they do this to every player, don't you think? I mean, if you go out there, it's always, I mean, they're always setting up defense for certain players. I mean, so, you know.
Absolutely.
Baseball began, don't you think? I mean,
but the trickle-down effect of that, Mark, is this, that if Ryan Howard or any batter, whatever, is going to hit the ball to the right side 96% of the time, and they're going to stick seven fielders on the right side of the field, so the only way for that batter to really accomplish anything is by launch angle and hitting the ball out of the park. Now what happens as a byproduct of that? The ball's never in play.
Right. Well, yeah, but I think like Charlie Manning would say, like with Ryan Howard, he'd strike out, you know, three times and hit the home run. If he had a great game.
I get it. But now that's pronounced. He's a power hitter, but that's pronounced through an entire lineup. And when you go an average of 4.5 to 5 minutes of real time for the ball to be in play in a baseball game, and the games are over 4 hours long, what's better? Is it feasible to say, all right, you can't stick seven guys on the right side of the field? You have quadrants that you have to play in.
But these are professionals. This is what bothers me the most. These guys are professionals. They get paid to do this. Mm-hmm. Right? They get paid to make me say, yo, hit the ball the other way. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing hitting it that way?
Well, but again, it's easier said than done. Like, you see the whole left side of the field open? Just slap one down the left side? It's not, you can't. The pitchers are going to pitch you in a spot where you can't.
You really believe that? Some pitchers.
Well, then why aren't we seeing it? Why aren't we seeing it, Mark?
Because they're pulling the ball. That's why.
Because they can't hit it the other way outside of this. If they could hit it.
I think they want the home run. It's more, you get more money for a home run than you get for a single down, right?
But you want to win.
Yeah.
If you can drive in a guy on third.
That's
by
my theory, that we want to win. We want to win. The player, he wants to win, but you know
what?
At the end of the whole season, he wants the money. Don't you think?
Yeah, well, it's their job. I get it, but they want to win. The players aren't there to hit home runs to make money. They want to win.
Yeah, right, but if they really thought about winning, I mean, snowball, that won.
Okay, but
didn't that win?
Okay, thanks for the call. First of all, they're not being told to do that by their managers. To varying degrees, and Gabe Kapler was here, and we know where he was analytically. If they could hit the ball to the left side, they would, with a guy on third base. That one at bat to drive in that winning run is not going to hold them back from making money. RBIs make money too, right, Andrew?
Yes.
So, do you believe that it is a matter of pitchers being so good too, to force you to hit the ball where they want you to hit the ball into their shift? They'll pitch you inside.
I mean, you also have scouting reports on every single player. You want to talk about analytics.
And 500 at-bats that play it out.
Yeah, I mean, scouting reports, analytics have been around all along. Scouting reports, right? Oh, this guy can't hit the high fastball.
Your center fielder to right center.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
whatever.
I get it. You're not using a computer, but you're using your eye. And you go, all right, this guy doesn't hit it the other way. This guy can't hit a high fastball. So throw it high and shift over that way. It happens all the time.
Yep.
It's been happening since the beginning of time with baseball, I'm sure. I wasn't around in the early 1900s, but I'm sure they were doing that. I don't know. Like, he seemed upset that they don't hit the ball the other way. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to make a rule? Like, oh, this at bat, you have to hit it the other way.
Well, if the other way is wide open because everybody shifted to the right side, then that would seem feasible. Like, it's like, okay, I want to hit it there. And I would if I could. But the fact of the matter is pitching is so good and I can't hit it the other way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would.
And Jake Arrieta, remember, he complained about it.
Yeah, he did.
I think it was 2 years ago. He complained about the amount of shifts that Gabe Kapler implemented. And he asked for there to be less shifts because he doesn't want to pitch a specific way. He doesn't want to have to pitch inside for the guy to turn on the ball and to hit a grounder to the deep second baseman who's out in the outfield like we used to see with Ryan Howard all the time.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a preference for some pitchers.
Yeah.
But some pitchers,
old school.
A lot of these pitchers are coming up from the minor leagues where they've been implemented in the minor leagues far before Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
right?
Youth ball.
Yeah, it's been a testing ground. Mm-hmm. I remember Dusty Wathan, who a lot of people wanted to be manager over Gabe Kapler. Dusty Wathen was like the king of analytics in AAA.
Yeah.
He did all that kind of stuff. He did shifts. He did analytics. He did all that stuff. And because he wasn't the major league level, nobody complained about it. But these guys are learning this way. They're learning, hey, I can't hit a 1-0 fastball, so I'm going to look at it no matter what. Like, they're learning these things.
It's being bred into baseball because they're learning it at younger levels. And the way to get to the big leagues is by doing it.
They're teaching launch angles to little leaguers at this point.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. And the solution is simple. It's to limit or eliminate the shift. You have zones, like the shortstop can't go past this imaginary line. Or you put a line on the field. I don't care. You know what I mean? You make drastic measures to improve it. In hockey, they had goalies that were playing the puck, and it was killing forechecks. So they put the trapezoid. They put lines on the field of play to limit the amount of area that he could touch a puck. That's drastic, and it helped. And look, all sports want to do one thing. They want to boost offense, right?
Yep.
Wouldn't limiting or eliminating the shift boost offense?
Of course.
And speed up the game in the process? Because you wouldn't have these at-bats where you're just trying to hit the home run, and you'd put the ball in play more, and there would be more action in the game as well. If the ball's in play, you can get an out just as quick as a strikeout.
Yeah, but I also think pitchers have gotten far better. I mean, every starting pitcher at this point, anybody that's under the age of 26 is throwing mid-90s fastball at this point.
Yeah, I remember working with Anthony before, talking about that article Jason Stark had. Like 5 years ago, there were four pitchers that averaged over 95. 5 years later, it was like 94 pitchers average over 95 miles
an
hour.
And none of them pitch for the Phillies.
Yeah, that's right. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Alex and Horsham on the Fanatic. Hey, Al.
Hey, Jason. Hey, Tunis. What's going on? Back in the midday slot.
How you doing, man?
Good, man. It's good to hear you. So just calling in. I wanted to wish you guys both a happy 4th, kind of living the life today, man. Early day off.
Already, man? It's Thursday.
Yeah, man. Thursday, Friday, the weekend, and then the wraparound on Monday. Nice 5-day chunk.
Ooh, it's good work, man. Enjoy it.
Thanks. So I heard you guys were talking about the NFL waiver situation. So just kind of wanted to call and check in on that and just say, so I think it's kind of the NFL's approaching it in like the best way that they can, I think it's kind of a fluid situation, right? So if they're going with this approach of, okay, we could potentially have fans in the stands if they sign a waiver, I think that allows them, you know, if this continues to get worse or, you know, we continue to see these fights happening, they have that back door to say, okay, we can go back to having the no fans. But if they're the first league back, you know, in the U.S. and they are able to have the fans back in the stands with that waiver, I think it kind of eliminates the empty experience. And it kind of is going to, you know, I personally think the NFL is handling it in a good manner.
Yeah, I do too. And here's why. And I kind of what you're saying is I think the NFL is just not closing any doors. Why close a door now when you don't have to? It's the one thing that I think the NBA had a little bit of a misstep in, is that they determined and they locked themselves in to a location before they had to. Like, they locked themselves into Orlando. And now, if they knew then when they made the decision on Orlando what they know now, they wouldn't have made the decision on Orlando. They would have made the decision to go to Toronto and play out of the Raptors facilities. You know what I mean? Or something.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm definitely on the same page with you. It's just closing the doors and eliminating, you know, your ability to kind of take this day by day, I think, is faulty way to approach it. So,
yeah.
Good note on that. And then about Matty Rhule, huh? Pretty exciting.
What, coaching in Carolina?
Yeah, absolutely. Very excited for that. The Temple to Carolina connection is, I'm excited for him.
The Temple to Baylor to Carolina. I had a chance to talk to him. I was doing a podcast with Baldy. And he came on with us, and just hearing him talk, he gets you pumped up. I like Matt Rhule a lot as well. And I think that he's bringing that culture in down there that he's known for. It should be really interesting to see what kind of effect he has there. Now, the thing is, in the NFC East, you don't have a division of donkey coaches anymore. You got Ron Rivera in Washington now.
Good coach.
Which I'm surprised that Daniel Snyder is going to hire a guy that's a no-nonsense guy. He's not going to put up with his crap,
right?
Presumably, even though others did. You look at in New York and Joe Judge. I don't know what Joe Judge is going to be. Is Daniel Jones the quarterback that's going to be great? It could be.
Yeah, Doug Peterson was an out of nowhere coach too, so we'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
And not gonna write off Joe Judge yet.
You know, and you have Mike McCarthy in Dallas now, and you don't have Garrett, but Garrett's the offensive coordinator, which he may be good at in New York. So it's interesting to see how this division, how that plays out. I know everybody was outraged by the coach rankings that guy put out from CBS Sports. And I'm going to have some thoughts on that in a minute. Did you guys talk about that yesterday?
Yes, two days ago, yeah.
Yeah.
There's some bogus Sean McVay, come on.
Yeah, but what I'm going to say is that the Philly fans took the bait again. And I'm going to give you an analogy of why not to take the bait from these guys. And a reason why. And it comes from Jeff Van Gundy. Stay tuned. I'll give you that in a minute. Jason and Cherry Hills on the Fanatic. Jay.
Yo, is this Martinez?
That's the name they gave me, brother.
Dude, you are a voice from the past. Welcome back, my friend.
It's the present, too, man.
That's
past,
right,
present.
That's right. Happy, you know, listen,
I'm not going to say future, man.
Hey, past, future, present. Your name is great because you got my name. So what can I tell you?
There you go.
Junis, you are the man, by the way.
Thanks.
Listen, I wanted to talk basketball, and you just literally made a comment that I was going to make. Like, the NBA making this decision to go to Orlando and blocking, or like you just said, like kind of like locking themselves in, I think is you're not going to be able to control this situation. All right, I think that you're it's got a lot of false hope to it, and you're going to have a lot of guys who are kids, basically, grow up and make sure that they're taking care of their own responsibilities so the league can actually function on some level. Because, obviously, the virus is, you know, going crazy in Florida. And I just thought that, you know, there's a little bit of, too much excitement, maybe, because there still is a very good chance that they could pull the plug on this. And I just wanted to talk to you about that real quick and get your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know if the NBA has a contingency that if things continue to get worse and worse in Florida, and they're going to report, what, next week?
I believe so.
To the bubble? I don't know if they have a contingency for another location. One thing I mentioned, Jay, is I don't know their threshold of what they're expecting and they can deal with from a positive test standpoint for players and staff, and what the line is, the tipping point of, okay, that's too many, we have to shut it down. I don't know what it is. The leagues have not articulated that. None of the leagues have. I know that they're all anticipating that, yeah, there's going to be a player that tests positive. But
well,
what
listen, if it's going to be a prime-time guy, then chances are they're going to probably pull the plug pretty quickly if that spirals out of control.
It does, you're right. And if it spreads through an entire... Like, say, we brought up this scenario on the Saturday show with Pat Egan that I did. What if in the NBA Finals the Lakers get there, right? They're up 2-0 on Milwaukee.
No, what do you mean? Why aren't the Sixers in this scenario? What are you doing to me here?
Well, I'm taking your fandom out of the equation. Because,
come on,
because
man.
You got to look at
it. You're killing me.
No, but I want to take your fandom out of the equation. They're up 2-0, but then LeBron tests positive.
Right.
And Milwaukee goes on to win 4 straight games. Is that a legit NBA title?
I mean, I don't know if there's the word legit can even be equated to anything right now because the whole world is turned upside down.
Yeah.
So, you know, is legit even a word in today's 2020 dictionary? I don't know.
Thanks for the call, Jay. It's definitely different. It's going to be known as the COVID championship or the COVID cup or the difference for me is this, is that the NBA and the NHL played 85% of their season. So the teams that are playoff bound were pretty much determined. The reason why baseball automatically gets the asterisk for me, and I don't know if you agree with this, Andrew, is because they're playing a third of their season when they had the ability to play more, much more than just 60 games. But because of the tit for tat and the public negotiation and, you know, trying to win the PR war in the return to play, they weren't able to do that and determine. I brought up the stat. It was through 50 games last season, the Washington Nationals, who won the World Series, had a record of 19-31.
Yeah, dead last.
The same record as the Florida Marlins. So that gives you kind of a look at what 50 games, the first 50 games in baseball mean. Not much, right?
Right.
And now you can say every game means the same amount. It does. We get it. But baseball is a war of attrition. So when you see that, and then they're going to play 60 games, that 10 games isn't that much of a difference. That's why baseball automatically gets an asterisk for whoever wins the World Series. And I don't care if it's the Dodgers or I don't care if it's the Yankees. Because it's not enough games to properly determine the playoff team.
Right. Even if they did 80, there would be an asterisk next to it. Even if they did 120, I would put an asterisk next to it.
I wouldn't.
I would be, for until they say this is the legit season, right, which they should eventually.
See, that's legit to me, 120. Okay. That's legit.
But 60, 80, definitely you put an asterisk next to it. And I've been saying that even whoever wins the Stanley Cup or whoever wins the NBA Finals, there's an asterisk next to it.
Yeah, see, I don't put an asterisk next to those because, they've played 85% of their season.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to, and it's different. I'm not saying it's not different than a normal year, but it's not asterisk worthy.
Okay.
Like Major League Baseball's got an asterisk already from a couple years ago with their Astros.
Yeah, yes.
You know, and they got a, that's a, that was a cheating scandal. This is a self-inflicted wound of asterisk by taking so long to return to play and come to an agreement. So that's why it gains the, but that is not to say I don't want the sport back.
Right,
I want it back.
You want it back, yeah.
Because I'll look at it in singular nature.
Yes.
So
I can't wait.
Jason Love tweets in and he says, he's got the fix for baseball. He says, to speed up baseball, we should have the players wear the old wool uniforms they wore in the dead ball era. It would cut down on the lollygagging of players in the summer heat. Hitters won't step out of the batter's box 10 times because they're just going to want to get to a cool location because they're going to be boiling in a wool uniform.
Damn right.
Think that will work?
No, because then the pitchers are going to be collapsing on the mound.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe you can wear a breathable for the pitchers,
yes,
and everybody else wear the wool. 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
We have pseudo, kind of almost like day-old breaking news in a way. But so, Andrew, you just saw that Matt Gelb tweeted out that the Phillies have placed four players on the injured list.
Yeah, Matt Gelb, he screen-grabbed the transaction report or whatever for on the Phillies website, and it's retroactive of June 30th. The date, apparently, that they put it was July 1st, but credit Matt Gelb for actually going to the website and finding it, because today's July 2nd. And there are four players on the 10-day injured list. No reason why. No explanation why, because they really can't disclose anything right now. But everybody's...
But they could disclose, like, shoulder discomfort,
yes, they
or something
could,
like that.
But everybody's first thought is going to be, okay, they must have contracted the virus. And the four players are Tommy Hunter, Hector Neris, Scott Kingery, and Ranger Suarez.
Okay. See, I know it's like it's an issue of HIPAA.
Yes.
And if the player wants to disclose it, they can individually, I guess, in sports. But the teams can't, and I guess the media by proxy shouldn't, even though some have.
Yeah, right? My thing is, all right, so what, are you just going to put hamstring pull on there? Like,
well, if they're putting nothing, that leads to the assumption that
exactly.
It is, right?
So you have to...
So you're telling us without telling us.
Yeah, so you have to put something on there.
Yeah.
Like, because if
is
you
it an upper body injury?
Yeah, exactly.
Or a lower body injury?
It doesn't say anything. So what's your first thought?
It's, yeah, that they tested positive,
yeah.
But is the 10-day DL long enough? That's not even the quarantine period. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or did they test positive way
before
that?
Well, they could have tested positive when there was that slight outbreak in Clearwater, and
yeah.
Maybe they tested positive then, and it just
and
wasn't
they have to
reported.
List it now.
Yes.
You have to list it then.
Because now everything's lifted, all these freezes, everything's lifted, so maybe.
Yeah, well, interesting. And we'll see how many players end up testing positive, what the effect is going to be on the integrity of the game. If you got, you know, like Pat Egan says this all the time, we're going to be watching AAA players this year. AAA players aren't going to test positive. You know what I mean? You're going to have to go deeper in your roster because if guys test positive and who knows how rampant it goes around a clubhouse, we'll see. 610-632-0975. Before we get back to the phones real quick, and we'll get everybody on hold, have you started your men's baseball league back up?
No.
Is there plans to start it back up?
Yeah, they've been doing, you know, I guess you could say workouts where all the players just sort of get together and do BP, but I have not attended.
So organized team activities?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that OTAs going on?
Yes, exactly. But it's, you know, league-wide, and not many people are showing up.
Oh, really?
Right now, it looks like my league is expecting four teams when we usually have between 8 and 10.
Wow.
And, you know, do I really want to play in a league with four teams?
Is it better than not playing at all?
I don't know. It's a good question.
It is, I think.
Yeah, it'll give me something to do. Because Sunday's, Sunday's my only day where I'm not doing anything.
You create some rivalries.
Yeah.
Seeing the same guys. You get hit by the same guy a couple times, and you charge the mound. And you go out there to fight him, but you can't fight because you can't get within 6 feet of him.
Yeah, of course,
so you go
yeah.
within 6 feet and you yell at him.
It'll just be all verbal assaults, yeah.
Yeah. And then he can bean you again, and you're going to go, oh, geez, I have nothing I can do about it.
So I call him a mound, and then I throw my 60-mile-per-hour fastball, and I go, yeah. I showed you.
Yeah. Take that in the hip. Our men's league, beer league hockey started, and we had a couple of scrimmages this week. I scrimmaged on Monday and last night.
So do you guys have rules? Like, when it comes to COVID, do you guys have any rules?
Yeah, there's in the locker room, there's, like, tape X's on the seats.
Okay.
So everybody's not on top of each other. They open up two locker rooms per team as opposed to one.
Okay.
Instead of packing guys in there. But on the ice, no, it's
no, on the ice, it's normal.
It's
right.
No check anyway, but look, guys rub each other out and stuff like that. You know, like you're going to knock a guy off a puck.
Right.
You're going to go into the boards and try with a guy there. It's not going to social distance on the ice. So when you haven't played any sports like that in a long time and then you go back, it's painful.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, I guess it was like 6 or 7 weeks in, I was taking a walk with my wife into the thing. And obviously, we've done nothing, no coaching, not on the ice at all. And I started saying, my hips feel better than they've ever felt. Like, I wasn't wobbling like I normally wobble.
Right.
Because my hips are shot from playing for so long. And in just two scrimmages, they're back.
Oh, of course. Now,
it's painful,
it's
man.
Interesting that you say that. It's one thing for us, the everyday person, is that my arm's shot. I literally blew out my arm before, so every time I throw a baseball, I'm in pain the next day.
Yeah.
I wonder how many veteran football players at this point, because they haven't done OTAs. Now, a lot of players don't go to OTAs, right? They're not mandatory.
Yeah.
I wonder how many players go, oh, my body feels great.
For the first time in a long time.
Now, the season has been canceled. The season has been pushed back, right? So, like,
they're in normal.
Exactly. Yeah. But I wonder if there's maybe whether it's a veteran NBA player or a veteran baseball player right now that goes,
or a hockey player.
Oh, my arm feels great right now.
I've had 4 months off the ice, or I've had 4 months not working out hard or using those muscles that you use in competition.
Right.
Yeah. And you wonder, like, when they come back from this, is it the younger players that are going to have the advantage because of that? Because they don't have the wear and tear on the body. But then again, you look at the younger players, you say they've never been through it. A lot of them haven't been through the same, you know, mental, be able to get themselves back mentally to where they need to.
Yeah, it's all really interesting.
I don't know who has the advantage.
Because I remember Jim Salisbury was on with Anthony a while ago, and he made a good point. I think it was Salisbury. He made a good point saying, in baseball, the veterans will actually be better because the veterans have guaranteed contracts and have been paid for a long time, so they probably have home gyms, right? Like, they probably have home batting cages.
They got
home.
A Peloton.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're good. Whereas the younger guys who don't have that kind of money, who are probably living in apartments somewhere, and obviously they don't have a gym and a batting cage in their apartment, they might not be able to work out as much as the veteran guys do.
Yeah, like LeBron's got a court.
Right.
His own court in his, you know, 15,000 square foot home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not everybody's got that. 610-632-0975. Brian in South Jersey's on the Fanatic. Hey, Brian. Brian. All right, put Brian on hold. He's not ready to go. Let's go to Patrick on the Fanatic. Hey, Pat.
What's up, Jason? How you doing, man?
Doing good, man.
Hey, 2 points real quick. The first one on it, what if that hypothetical, if a player gets sick and you're down to the championship. Honestly, I could see these guys from the last four, even last 18 are in the, you know, going towards the finals. I wouldn't be shocked if they just stop testing. They tell the guys, like, look, you're going to do your quarantine, hard quarantine, family only, and this is it, you know, because that's a risk that's, you know, that, to your point, would negate any you know, legitimate champion. Because
Can't stop testing. They just can't do that because you're putting other players at risk, and you can't just go, well, I'm going to bury my head in the sand. You know what I mean?
I agree. It would have to be like they would go to every player on every team and say, hey, guys, here's the deal. And then after you're eliminated after the championship, two-week quarantine, you don't get to be with anybody. I mean, you know, it's a big...
Yeah, that's a tough ask, though, too, Patrick, because they've just been locked into a bubble if you make it to the finals for 3 months. They're not going to go, okay, you locked me in a bubble for 3 months to play. Now I'm going to quarantine for 2 more weeks when I finally get some freedom?
Well, I mean, it's not like, to your point, these guys aren't going back to a, you know, to a 500-square-foot apartment. You know, they're going home to a really nice place. But
a lot of times they're going to be separated from their families or whatever, too.
No, I hear you. I just think that that's the only way you could even legitimately do it because, to your point, God forbid someone did test positive, then you're looking at, you know, that is a totally illegitimate championship. I mean, you know, but I look at it this way, too. I mean, Embiid got sick, got a stomach thing, which isn't far off from, you know, what we're talking about now. And that, I think that drastically affected the outcome of last year's,
absolutely,
you know, finals run. So, I mean, it's part of the deal at this point.
And that's the thing, Patrick. That's why I say it doesn't make it an asterisk because anybody can, like, just as much as LeBron could contract it, sure. So could Giannis. So could Ben Simmons. So could anybody. Josh Richardson. Players of varying importance, right?
Yep. Incumbent on the player to keep themselves in the best, you know, health possible. On to football, as far as fans go, I mean, my whole thing is, like, I hope football comes back. I hope we can get a season in. I just think that it's irresponsible, no matter how many, you know, even if you go with 35,000 fans or 20,000 fans, you know, you're still putting people, a large amount of people, in a space together. If you got rid of booze, people probably make better decisions, but that's almost impossible to do. You know, when we've got virus, it's still spreading. And here's the bigger thing. We're now associating, you know, positive tests with outbreaks, which, you know, you should. But when that happens, what do? You shut down everything again. And these folks, the bar, and I know you know the folks, the bar owners out in Westchester, and I got friends who own, you know, bars and restaurants, and it's, you know, to do this, like, start up and go through all the protocol and just shut it down again is just, it's maddening. So if it means that we can have a little bit of, you know, a restaurant, a bar, outdoor dining, we get a little bit just to kind of keep our sanity and keep people afloat, I think it's just irresponsible to put any number of people together, whether it's a football game, a rally by a political, you know,
I get what you're saying. Yeah. Look, you're incurring risk that could upset any form of entertainment.
Sure, no doubt.
By
then
doing
we can all
it.
Look
yeah.
back and say, hey, yeah. you know, because of this Eagles Giants game that was attended, now we've got a huge outbreak. We've got to shut everything down again.
Yeah, now
it's
we
really
have, worth it. We wanted to allow some fans. Now we have none. It's like moving too fast, getting too greedy, going, okay. Yeah, because we all go, we want everything back to normal. We want full state. We want life pre-pandemic back as quickly as possible. But we can't let that loop. You know, getting things back slowly is better than getting them back and losing them again. Because that'll be a major blow if it comes back and then gets shut down.
I'm okay with it right now for baseball, basketball, and hockey. Because at this point,
okay with what?
If it shuts down, I'm not saying I'm happy that it shuts down. I'm saying I want them to go through whether, you know, if there's a concern that they might get shut down after a month of play, I still want them to come back. Football, on the other hand, it's like, all right, I'd rather you not start a week and then stop and come back week five.
Okay.
Because it's the beginning of the season.
You'd rather just wait until, because they haven't started anything.
Right, because it's the beginning of the season, fresh slate. So, you know what, whether it's September 13th or October 13th, but the other sports, like, all right, just start and see what happens. Because you're at the end anyway.
Yeah. Well, baseball, it's their season, and they can't just go in perpetuity because wintertime.
Right, they can't play in December.
Yeah, they can't do that. And in the other sports, they're indoors, and they can sort of control the environment. And they played 85% of their season. So there is a difference there. Let's go to Pete in Princeton on the Fanatic. Hey, Pete.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good, man.
My question is, the one thing that can't happen in baseball is they can't outlaw the shift. Okay? That's like, in football, it's 3rd and 24. Oh, we're allowed to sub a D-back in, right? Because they're going to pass. So so we're going to put more people back. Football's been doing the shift as long as football's been around. Baseball was just late to the party, and you can't sit there, oh, the ball, we're playing the Baltimore Ravens, but you're only allowed to have five in the box. You're not allowed to have more in the box, even though they run more.
Here's the difference, though, Pete. Football product isn't broken. The baseball product is broken. You can't get, they're not equal.
Well, yeah, football is way better in many other categories. But one of the other categories that baseball can do, and I'm talking about it from a lot of, knowing a lot of females that are fans, football is absolute. Catch, no catch. Baseball is the outside corner a strike, or is it just off the plate that the umpire caught? There's too many what ifs. The neighborhood play, second base. Now replay is going to ruin some of that stuff, but there's still too much of the element of the umpire control. Is he out or safe? Every call in baseball should be replayed, not just one challenge.
But that's just going to lengthen the game, though.
Well, then what?
Just put a computerized strike zone in.
Exactly. Yes. That would speed up the game more than the shift would.
Yeah, but so, like purists would say you can't do that because the subjectivity of certain umpires and their strike zone is part of the game.
You mean the game that's broken? That's what I'm talking about. Like, that's one of the reasons why it's broken.
Okay? Yeah. I disagree. I think eliminating or seriously limiting the shift in baseball fixes a lot of problems. And I get, like, you want to correlate it to the NFL and how many players you put in a box, or if it's 3rd and 14, you want to put D-backs all over. I get it. But the difference is this. The product of the NFL is not broken. The product of baseball is broken as a result, in my opinion, of the shift. So while I get it strategic, and I get, tell me what else fixes it besides eliminating or limiting the shift. If you can give me that answer, I'll consider it. But until I have that answer, it's not a consideration. I believe the limiting or elimination of the shift fixes the problem. Do you agree, Andrew, that it would fix the problem?
It would obviously change parts of the game, but then again, you're taking away from the strategic element of
strategy. Oh, good. You want Gabe determining games?
Oh, that's why he's
like
not
he
here
did?
In Philly anymore.
Yeah, now he's in San Francisco to infest that market.
Good.
Ooh, I love the shift. You know what I mean? You haven't heard that in a while.
No, I have.
But look, Girardi is going to shift.
Yes, he will. It's fine.
He's got analytical pro. All of them do now at this point.
Yeah, and you know what? The teams that the Phillies are facing will shift.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's part of the game.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be part of the game because it's not helping the game. See, it's hard to argue this with you because you like it as is because you love baseball.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is for a lot of people, did you see the article that Mike Sielski wrote about baseball's boring?
Yeah.
A lot of people feel that way. Like, you can shake your head at it, but a lot of people feel that way.
I know.
And I've said it before. I loved baseball. I'm just not in love with baseball. And I want it to be fixed. I want to see action. I want to see the ball in play.
I don't think the shift is going to change that. I am very interested to see.
How does it not? Everything, the trickle-down effect of the shift is launch angle.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No, I think they just want to try to hit home runs.
Well, okay.
They go, all right, three runs is better than one.
But because of the shift, they know that if they don't hit a home run, it's an out. If you don't have the shift and you don't hit a home run, there's a good chance the ball could fall into the field of play, and now you have a base runner. A base runner! What a concept. Maybe even you could have a stolen base runner.
Well, they're not going to do that. They're not going to steal bases.
Oh, no, because analytically, that's stupid.
Exactly, which is dumb. I hate that. I like the old school approach of baseball.
Which is why Ricky Henderson made a career out of stealing bags.
Yeah, no one will ever beat his stolen base record.
No. And the other thing.
It's not going to happen ever again.
The other thing is, wasn't the stolen base like you stole something from the other team?
Yeah, it was great.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I just stole it from you.
Imagine eighth inning steal.
It's like an interception.
You're down one. Yeah, it's great. I don't know if eliminating shift is going to save baseball, but what I'm very interested in seeing is the shortened season, the 60 games, if there are people that are like, wow, this was great because every game mattered. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, I get it. They're not going to go from 162 to 60. They're not going to do that because there's too much money revenue attached.
Yeah.
But maybe they go 162 to 128, expanded playoffs, right? So now you try to find a way to make up that the revenue loss for the regular season games, you're obviously getting more money for playoff games.
Yep.
And I get it. You add more teams. That means you add teams that probably aren't that great into the playoffs.
Yep.
And baseball's not as much like hockey where...
Well, it makes the deadline more interesting, too.
Yes, it does. So I think...
Push back the deadline as well.
If you shorten the season to 128, right? No, you're not shortening games to seven innings, but you start by shortening the season. I wonder if they use this year as a sort of test run where they go, wow, people were really into 60 games because every single game mattered.
A heightened importance. Well, the other thing, and you're right, they could use this as a testing ground, and they will look at the data. There's no doubt about
sure.
it. And there'll be a lot of research done and post-research on how fans felt about it and everything else. The one thing that the Major League Baseball needs to be scared of is that the NBA is going to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to look at playing in the month of August and go, is this something that we want to do going forward and not compete with the NFL for as long a period of time as possible?
Right, that's one of my big concerns is, let's say the NBA, because it's playoffs against Major League Baseball regular season and NHL playoffs against Major League Baseball regular season. If the numbers aren't as high as they thought, they'll probably be like, oh, well, then what's the point of changing? We'll just keep it at 162. Clearly, this shortened season didn't help our ratings, so we'll just keep it at 162.
Yeah,
and
so
that's one of my concerns.
They won't reap the reward of it because they're going against the NBA, the NHL,
yep.
and football returning. Chris in Jersey's on the Fanatic. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Jason, great to hear your voice, bud.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, so here's my thought on this whole sports coming back and what's going to happen. So, like, Florida, I just saw, like, hit a milestone today, like, shattered the record. So if a state shuts down, right, they have to shut down for 6 weeks. So what does that do with sports in that state? So if, say, Florida shuts down for 6 weeks, that means there's no NFL camp, there's nothing, and we're going to see that scattered around the country. And the other question I have is, and I don't know the answer, I haven't heard anything on it, is, you know how, like, there's a travel restriction if you're going into, like, New York from Florida or Texas?
Yeah, quarantine period.
So what happens if the Marlins come up for a three-game...
They're not going to be subjected to it the same way the general public is going to be. It's just like players coming from Canada and the Raptors to play in the bubble. They're not going to be subject to that same quarantine period. They've gotten special dispensation. And that annoys some people because they say they're being treated differently, and they are, but that's just what it is.
Yeah. So, but now my thing is, I don't know how this is all. I mean, it seems like it's getting so bad in some parts of the country that have these major league sports teams.
Well, here's the thing, and this is going to annoy some people that I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say it. Part of the reason for these rising numbers at these record levels is also because they're testing at record levels. Look, if we would have had the same testing we have now when New York was going through its peak, you have any idea what those numbers would have been like? They'd have been 10 times, 25 times what they were.
Yeah.
That's part of it. We just actually know who has it now. When we didn't know, it seemed more palatable, right? But now you know, and more asymptomatic people have it than we could have even imagined. So that's part of it as well, Chris.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see what they do in some of these states. Like, if they say, okay, no fans in, I'm just throwing it out there. Like, Miami, we've decided we're not going to let any fans in, but Philly, you can have 20% of your fans in for football games.
Yeah. Like, that's an advantage. That's an advantage, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look at, and it's based on geography and what's happening in that particular location. So because they can't have fans in Florida, should nobody have fans? That's a question that you got to ask. Look, if you can have fans in some place and it's safe and they do it with the proper protocol and they handle it right, then sure, bring in the fans. In Florida right now, if they don't feel like that's a responsible thing to do, then don't do it. And maybe at some point they can. Dan and Philly's on the Fanatic. Dano.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
I wanted to hop on. I heard you guys speaking about the changing of baseball and things we could do to update the sport. And I'm not saying it's not a complicated issue. It's absolutely a complicated issue.
Very, very.
Obviously, the sport's pretty broken. A point that I wanted to bring up. Once you start changing the sport, I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just a point that has to be brought up. A lot of what's interesting about sports is its historical aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And how things fit in the modern day into how it was 100 years ago, 50 years ago. And once you start changing the sport, let's say even shortening the season or shortening the time span of the game or innings, whatever it is, it becomes impossible to put that season and going forward seasons into perspective of the history, and it's a lot less interesting in that regard, right? You already had it in the NBA with, let's say, the 60s before the shot clock and the three-pointer line, and just the game was, there's nine teams, and no one talks about it. It's, like, literally isolated in history as, okay, so Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain, like, they were great, but they're not actually going to be in the discussion of the best players ever because it was a completely different sport. And probably baseball's heyday was Rally, I guess, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, when they're challenging and beating these age-old records, home run records, etc. And that was a thing to watch in the sport. That was a thing to pay attention to. And that was a reason to turn on the TV and listen.
Yeah.
And it just becomes very difficult to do that once you start implementing completely different rules into the sport. It really loses its perspective in history.
I get it, but Dan, I will say this. I don't believe that you can be beholden to a record book to not try and improve your sport when it's clearly, by the masses, the sport has changed. The sport has changed as well, because they weren't doing this shift in the 60s and the 50s to this extent. So to me, you're almost reverting the sport back to what it was when the product was better and it was great and it had more mass appeal. And you can't just... You can't be beholden to the record book and the old guard, because if you do that, you don't have a future.
You're saying specifically the shift, right?
Yeah, the shift is the thing that I got the issue with. And I get it's a strategic thing. And look, to me, it fixes a lot of problems. A lot of problems.
I would love for them to get rid of the relief pitchers every time they come in throwing balls in the middle of the field as everyone watches.
Yeah. Well,
it's,
yeah,
it's a joke.
Yeah, I mean, that's a joke. And do we have to throw the ball around the infield every half inning? I mean, can we lessen that stuff? I know the mound, you got to get used to the mound, the whole thing. But 610-632-0975. We'll get back to the calls coming up. It's Jason Martinez, Middays, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. Settle down.
Hello.
610-632-0975. Coach Camille hanging out. Masking, wearing the mask, looking good, Coach. I can appreciate that. That mask is for my safety. And your breath.
Wow.
That was a shot, wasn't it? Do we do Bring the Heat?
No.
Oh, come on, man. I wanted to do it. I want to hear the okay guy. Can I get the okay guy on the telephone? Can you get him?
Okay.
No, I want an actual call from the okay idiot.
That'd be nice.
My life's been nice without the okay guy in my life, but I'd love to hear from him.
Give us a call. Yeah. Steve, I think his name's Steve.
Steve?
Let's call Steve.
Steve, call. 610-632-0975. I just want to hear you just ruin every argument that you make. Because that's what you do. Let's go back to the phones. And we've turned this into a baseball discussion today, oddly enough, Andrew. I don't know how that happened. We were talking about NFL and signing a waiver. I'm going to give you the waiver to sign now. You sign the limit the shift waiver or eliminate the shift waiver?
No.
You're such a baby.
I'll sign the shorten the season waiver.
All right. Why not? I don't get why it hurts you to eliminate the shift.
Because it's just part of the game.
Yeah, but it doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be. The trap in hockey was part of the game. Baseball was going to put a guy on second base.
That's stupid.
An extra inning.
No, I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
It's right there with the 3-on-3 overtime.
And you know what's funny? They're going to still swing for the fences.
Yeah.
Instead of just bunt the runner over to third and then a sacrifice fly.
Dead right.
They're still going to try to hit a home run.
Yeah, in a one-run game, I'll try and hit a two-run home run.
Yes. instead of just bunting him over to third.
Or a tie game, I should say.
Yeah. It's going to be ridiculous.
Bunt him over to third, sack fly him in, game over.
No, I'm going to say, you know what, dude? Try to hit this one to the upper deck.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.